All right, thank you very much for that. If you turn with me, would you, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be reading the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And would you please stand for the reading as you are able. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 goes thus. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray now. Our God, thank you for your word. Help us as we look at it today to be to consider it, to apply it to our lives as we need to. Help my preaching to be clear and accurate. Help us all to profit from the reading and opening of your word today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn now back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you are not already there. And what we have here is Paul has written a letter, an occasional letter to the Corinthians, the second one. And it's 2 Corinthians, as you're aware, is kind of scattered. It doesn't have like a super consistent theme. There are a lot of asides and therefores and things that he kind of pushes around as like popping to his mind, and then he has Timothy write it down. But what we have here is a large chunk of this letter is a response to some criticism he has received from the Corinthians, from Corinth. And we don't know exactly the nature of the criticism, but we can piece together aspects from his response. And a lot of the response to this particular section started off in chapter 3, where in the first verse he goes and asks, you know, do we need to write a letter of commendation? Do we need to commend ourselves to you again? And it seems to be that people are calling into question Paul's, not so much his testimony, but his fitness for it, whether he has changed his message to suit his audience, and because he is suffering, and because he is suffering a great deal of trials. He is suffering many problems and tribulations and issues of death threats and things that he has to face. And they're questioning, hey, you know, what's going on with that? What's going on with this? And really, what this all brings up is this section specifically deals with a temptation that we all face and will face. If you have not, you will face as you grow older. A temptation to change our message based on our audience, to change our message to suit an audience, and specifically to change the gospel to suit our audience. And you can think of major examples. There's something called the seeker-sensitive movement out there for big churches where they have loud music and lights and short sermons, and everything is designed to draw people in who feel like they're seeking after God. They're seeking after something more than just their life. But there's something, and we look at that and go, oh, that is bad. We shouldn't do that. But how often are we tempted to not confront sin, to soft pedal issues that we run into, to want to say to people, I'll just have to be good and it's fine. And the issue that we run into is that we are afraid that it is up to us to convince and save people. We are afraid it is up to us to convince and save people from their sin. And what this passage tells us in these six verses is that it is God who illuminates the hearts, who fills the heart with light of Jesus. And what you are called to do is simply to faithfully present Jesus to those you have in contact with. And we see this in three different ways, three different points here. We see, number one, in verses 1 and 2, that God, because God illuminates hearts, you are to present the gospel boldly. And then verses 3 and 4, because God illuminates hearts, you can't do it. And then 5 and 6, God illuminates hearts, present Christ. And let's look at verses 1 and 2 to start with. That God is the one who lights up or shows hearts. So verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, seeing as we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have denounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul is continuing this section from the previous verse, where he's talked about how the gospel, in contrast to the law of Moses, was written on stone, and the gospel is written on our hearts. And he talks about how the Jews, when they read their law and read the Old Testament and the first five books of Moses and the rest of the writings, that they have a veil, that they can't see it clearly, but that God has taken the veil off for us so that we can see what the big point is, what the big picture is. And that's where the therefore comes in. Therefore, we have this ministry of the gospel, as we receive mercy, we faint not. We faint not. Or another way to translate that, or the idea, is we are not discouraged. It is not specifically talking about, like, it's too hot on a summer day and you're at a parade and you feel a little woozy and you faint, and then, you know, you faint or you have to sit down. Well, that's kind of the thing, is the idea of we do not discourage. We are not push back from doing what God has called us to do, despite our setbacks that we have received. So that is what we're called, to present the gospel boldly despite setbacks. And then in verse two, he points out that Paul does not manipulate the gospel in any way. He doesn't change it for his audience. And how does he do that? He says, for we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And there's a couple of different ways you could phrase that. You could phrase it, the things hidden because of shame, things that are shameful. But the underlining idea is that we have put aside any kind of anything that is shameful. And what this points to is that any manipulation of the gospel, no matter how innocent or well-intentioned, you know, how much you are trying to get people to understand, if you mess with, by adding to or taking away from what God has said, it is shameful and dishonest. And he lists three things that this looks like, two negative and one positive, on how we should present God, how we should present Jesus. And number one is, he says, we are not walking in craftiness. We are not walking in craftiness. It's the idea of evil cleverness or trickery, schemes. This is, Paul is rejecting manipulating people into receiving the gospel, and he is not someone for what you might consider a high-pressure sales tactic. Probably my least favorite experience with a high-pressure sales tactic is a couple years ago, trying to cancel my phone because due to getting married and other things, I had to get a new cell phone carrier. And so I called up my carrier and said, hey, I want to cancel. And the lady on the other end of the line went, oh, no, you can't do that. What can I do to get you to stay? And I said, well, you know, blah, 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 and then that won't work. And then it ended up she talked me out of it. But then I was mad at her. And then I went back inside and told Jessica. And she's like, did you do it? And I said, I did not, because she talked me out of it. I said, call them back and do it. But I was not happy at being talked out. I was mad because I needed to cancel it. And she, it felt like, manipulated me into staying. And then I called back and it was resolved. But there has been a movement. There's often movement, and we read. You can get a book. My cousin has a book of evangelism. And evangelism, it's basically evangelism tricks and tricks book. It's basically you work through this thing, and it breaks down an encounter with a lost person in a number of different ways. And it takes the idea that you can use psychology to psych people into doing things. So when they present certain questions, you ignore them or you counter with these arguments and like this. And the whole thing turns it into a high-pressure sales tactic of the gospel. And Paul is saying he doesn't do that, and don't do that. Do not try to be too smart for your own good. The second thing Paul rejects after trickery or craftiness is nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Does not handle the word of God deceitfully, and he does not dilute the gospel in any way. The word here, this quote, he insists, this quote from a commentary, he insists that unlike other con men, he does not adjust, water down, or tamper with the gospel to stroke his listeners' egos or to avoid ruffling their feathers. He is not a flatterer using God's word only to delight the audience and bewitch them with enchanting interpretations that never question their conduct or character. The word here is the word, it doesn't appear anywhere else in the New Testament, but it is the word used of somebody who dilutes, use of merchants who diluted their wares or wine. You think of this as my daughters, as you know, I have twins, they like juice. But you can't just give them straight up juice. You have to dilute it. You have to put in water in order to get it the right consistency so it goes out their straws and they don't get too much sugar and all that. But it is the idea of adding something foreign to something that is pure and then selling it as it is pure. So if it is as if you are a juice merchant, let's say you are selling apple juice and you are selling apple juice to apple juice store and you're selling your goods and you think, how can I profit just a little bit more? And you think, well, I can add a little bit of water to it to dilute it just a little bit and therefore increase the amount I can sell and undercut my competition. And you do that and you do that. And what you're doing is you are diluting your product. And Paul is saying he did not take the gospel and he is not adding his ideas to it. He's not adding something that some cleverness or some ideas that he's come up with or suggesting that his ideas are better, that he's being clever. But instead, he says that he gives the answer instead of being crafty and instead of being manipulating the word deceitfully. What he does is, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So what he's saying is, when it comes to the gospel, the truth that God sent his son to die on a cross, to come down and live a perfect life for us so that we could be saved, he doesn't add to it. He doesn't take away from it. He doesn't try and manipulate it. But instead, he makes it manifest or shown openly in order the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So instead of trying to manipulate it, he says, he shows it off. He says it, look, this is how it is. And he speaks plainly. He speaks openly. It is common, as long as we're on a commercial kind of bin in translation, if you hear it, it's a common thing in advertisements to advertise when they say there are no gimmicks, there are no, everything is out in the open and straight up, no contracts or fine print. It is the idea that it is plain and open and you understand what you are getting. And he preaches in such a way, the gospel, so that the word of God, and it is commended and shown to every man and woman's conscience, so that he's not trying to adjust it or edit it, but he's just saying, look, this is here how it is. And so that everyone that looks at it, whether they be a believer or an unbeliever, will go, yep, that was handled correctly. Like, that was no, but there was no manipulation there. There was no charlatan tactics taken. But ultimately, Paul's point is we're not to be commended only by men, but it is ultimately before God. So when you are presenting the gospel, or when you're thinking about the gospel and going to present it to somebody, Paul says, don't try to take away from it. Don't try to trick people into it. Don't think that you need to be super smart or crafty. Just say what God has done. Just say what God has done for you in a way that would please him and please others. Don't try to be clever. But then to transition, we have the response. But if you aren't clever with it, if you don't try to really make it fit your audience, what if people aren't going to get it? You know, what if you say it just not perfectly and people don't understand it, they don't follow? But surely if you say things a little differently, people would get it and people would be saved. But we see in verses 3 and 4 is that because God is the one that illuminates and opens hearts and minds, you cannot be the one and you will not be able to do so. And we see in verse 3 that Paul tells us the answer is that, look, no matter how carefully and specially you craft your message, ultimately, verse 3 tells us, but if our gospel is hid, if people aren't going to get it, and people aren't going to get it because it is hid from them which are that are lost. It is hid from them that are lost. Because ultimately the problem is that people who are lost are spiritually blinded. They won't get it. So you might go, okay, I have a message. And this is very pertinent, especially with Vacation Bible School coming up. And you're thinking about attending classes, many of you, and leading kids and stuff. And you may have thought how you're going to present the word so carefully and so accurately. But you see, people who are lost have been blinded, have been spiritually blinded. And it is not And it may not be that you are being unclear, as Paul is not being unclear, or that the gospel is somehow hazy or hidden in scripts. It's that they cannot see. It's that people who are lost don't get it. Because people have been blind. This is not due to intelligence or familiarity with it. For there are very, very smart people who don't get it. And by don't get it, it's not that they can't read the words that are on the page. They may read the words that are on the page, but they don't understand the significance of them. When Spurgeon preached this sermon, he gave four different examples. Four different things of what this looks like, how it manifests itself. Number one, the gospel is hidden from some men because they have never felt sin to be evil. So they may go, okay, sin, you know, it's bad, but it's not evil. It's just, you know, my pet vices. It's not a big deal. Number two is they may not understand themselves. They do not understand themselves. They are, they do not understand how they are. They do not understand their nature. Number three, because their will is not subdued. And what he means by that, Spurgeon means by that, is simply that the gospel infringes on what they want to do. People don't get it because they realize if I were to understand it, it would mean I couldn't do what I want to do. It would mean that it constricts and keeps me from my desires. And then I have to live for somebody other than myself. And so I don't want to do that. And then finally, number four, Spurgeon presents for the four reasons for the spiritual blindness is, again, it interferes with their worldly interests. They have things that they want to do. They have things they want to accomplish and see. And these men and women have chosen to be blind. And then verse 4 is not just they've chosen to be blind to seek after other things. It is that they have been blinded by the God of this world, by the God of this world. They have not been necessarily blinded by the Lord, but by Satan. Satan has spiritually blinded people. Not just some people, but those who have been lost, so that they will not see and they cannot see the gospel. So verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, and he has blinded them so that lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine in them. He has blinded them from understanding and seeing what God has done. So this is why Paul says, why I cannot trick anybody into being saved? Because I can get them to say a prayer. I can get them to work through a series of logical arguments. But if God hasn't opened up their eyes, their spiritual eyes, so that they understand the depths of their sin and how they need a Savior, they're not going to get it. They're not going to understand what the significance is. They're going to think it's no big deal and I can just do my thing. And, you know, maybe God, I'm better than Hitler, so maybe everything will work out in the end. And people won't get it because they have been blinded. So what is Paul's answer? Paul's answer to this, that people have been blinded, what you and I must do, when we present the gospel, when we present the truth to one another and to people who are lost in our witness, in our counseling, to ourselves, cannot psych each other out, cannot psych ourselves. In verses 5 and 6, because it is God who opens minds, you must preach Jesus and not yourself. You must preach Jesus and not yourself. Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You must promote Jesus Christ. You must promote Jesus Christ. And this frees us up. We do not have to be the one who promotes ourselves. And this is not what this is simply saying. This isn't necessarily a shot. This isn't necessarily a shot at some other preacher who Paul is saying is going around and he's just talking about himself. He's just lifting himself. It's all about him. And you know when that happens. You know when you're listening to a testimony and you go, you're bragging. You're talking about how God has so gifted you that brand new car and it's so incredible and it has 450 horsepower and it's red leather seats and it's just amazing. And oh, thank God. You know when it's all about how God, you know when it's all about the person. You can tell when it's all about the thing. And Paul says, don't do that. But you are to promote and preach Jesus Christ and yourself as a servant. The person who is preaching, the preacher, the person who's witnessing, is not a ruler over the audience, but is a slave or a servant. So he says, preach Jesus, because Jesus is the one God manifests and shows in two people. And then verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So what he is saying is simply, is you preach Jesus because just as God has illuminated you, and just as God, way back in Genesis 1, verse 3, he said, let there be light. And that same creative power has the power to shine in darkened hearts, to shine in people who have been blind. So you cannot go up against the God of this world, against Satan, and somehow convince people. But God is saying, present Jesus, and he will. And he will shine into people's hearts. And you know this to be true from your own testimonies, that there was a time where you didn't get it. You maybe understood the words. Maybe you heard preaching for a long time, if you were saved as an adult or as a kid, where you didn't understand. And then suddenly, maybe overnight, or a growing sensation, you realized that you were not who you ought to be. You were a bad person. You did bad things and you liked it and you didn't want to go to hell. Whatever it was, but you realized you needed a savior. And what was happening then? God was shining in your hearts, your need to be saved, your need to accept him. And so what he said is that present Jesus, because it is through Jesus that God shines in hearts. For the light that shines out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light or illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ, we have salvation. We can see God uses Jesus to show us the gospel. So then, so what? So what? What is the point? What are some applications we can make of these six verses? Number one, broadly, these are not Paul's cultural first century opinion. These are the word of God. And Paul is saying when he presents his gospel, when he presents the gospel to us, it is not something that is just his opinion. It is something that is true and is from God. When he preaches Christ, it is what we ought to do. Number two, if God and when God convicts you of your sin and convicts you of your need to repent, repent, come to him. It is not because you have been manipulated or tricked or exposed to something that is watered down. If God convicts you of your need to repent, God is showing you your sin and that you need to fix it. And so you should repent. You should turn from that sin and confess it and deal with it. And then thirdly, when you witness, when you are teaching, when you're preaching, when you are assisting in VBS, pray that God will open hearts. Pray that God will open hearts. Don't just depend on the teachers for VBS. So this is specifically, we're going to deal specifically with VBS because that's coming up. And we have going to have kids in and everything. Many of us will not be able to take part directly because we'll be at work and won't be able to help out with the daily activities. And many of you will. But this is call out for those of you who will not be able to take part. Pray each day that God would open hearts and minds. Pray each day and participate in that way. And then fourthly, when you are witnessing, preaching, teaching, present the gospel clearly. Don't try to manhandle it. Don't try to do underhanded, dirty tricks of things. Don't soft pedal it. Don't dilute it with your weird ideas you got from your uncle about who God is and what he's like. Just preach the gospel. Preach and teach what Jesus has done for you. Teach how to be saved. Don't try to be too clever. Don't, when you're talking to your family, you can apply this, but don't try to explain away uncomfortable truths. Don't try to, if somebody says, am I lost? Well, maybe you are. Don't try to explain things that are uncomfortable. And then for VBS is coming off. The other side is don't try to strong-arm confessions out of people. Don't try to manipulate people into doing things that God has not had them ready for. And then finally, verse 5, application 5, is have courage and don't lose heart if you don't necessarily see the results you're hoping for. You will present the gospel and you will do a great job, and then nobody will get saved or no lives will be apparently changed. But don't lose heart. Keep doing it. Keep going after it. And so to conclude, Paul reminds us that it is God who saves the lost. It is not us. It's not our smartness or cleverness. It is not up to us to save people, not you or me. But as a result, you must present Christ. You are called to present the gospel of Jesus, to present it boldly, to trust God to shine in the hearts of people, and finally, to just present Jesus and who he is and what he has done for you and me and for us all. Let's pray.